So anyone who knows even just a little bit about the law of God is capable today of recognizing that we're doing a lot of things within our culture that are offensive to God. There's really no question of that. I don't anticipate that surprising anyone. What's surprising is that we're not acknowledging it. We're not talking about it. That God is being offended by a number of things that we're doing. And of course, I'm not here this morning to try to drive that point home. I think it's kind of obvious, really. We don't have to look too far to see that that's true. But I do oftentimes look at the situation and ask myself the question, why is it that God hasn't struck us as he so often does in the Old Testament? Because if you look in the Old Testament, for one, he tried to wipe out the whole human race except for Noah and his family. That didn't really work too well. We're still in the same situation today. He tried it, but then he said, you know what, I'm never going to do that again. Putting the rainbow up in the sky, I will never wipe out all of humanity again. And then, of course, at the base of the mountain of Sinai, Moses is up on top of Mount Sinai, and God says to him, Moses, go down to your people, they've become depraved. They have struck an idol for themselves, and they're worshiping a false god. So Moses goes down, and of course, he's so enraged that he throws down the tablets, which leads him to have to go back up later and get another set. And God at that point said, Moses, I'm going to destroy all of them and make of you a great nation. And, you know, Moses did a little bit of PR work with the Lord and said, hey, what would it look like to everyone if you lead your friends out in the desert and just wipe them out? I mean, does that give a very good message? And the Lord was persuaded and he didn't wipe them out. So what I'm trying to say is, if you look in the Old Testament, I mean, think of the fact that the whole nation got destroyed and was occupied after 587 BC. I mean, God really did visit justice upon people back then. And here we are committing some of the same types of things they did, and yet God stays his hand. What is that? How come? And I'll tell you right now, the reason for that is because his son came. Jesus is the one staying the hand of the Father to keep him from just destroying us for what we're doing. Because Jesus comes, and he comes on the scene, and the first words out of his mouth is, repent. Believe in the good news. What's the good news? Well, guess what? Now you're going to meet mercy, compassion, and forgiveness instead of justice. When you repent. When you repent. That's the key. So he says, repent and believe in the good news because it's true. So when you do offend God, repent of it. And Jesus is saying, here's the good news. You will meet mercy and forgiveness instead of justice. And so what Jesus dying on the cross did, in effect, was, I love these people. And in virtue of his love for us, the Father keeps giving us chance after chance after chance. In virtue of that love. It's kind of like when you have a good friend, hopefully they'll stand up for you when the others start down-talking you, and they come up and they advocate for you. No, I think, yeah, I don't believe that. I know Father Dan, he's not that kind of person. That's what Jesus is doing for us. And it all began with one of his words from the cross, Father, forgive them for all they're doing to me. They don't know what they're doing. That's mercy. See, that's mercy. And mercy is not something you earn. Justice deals with what is due to you. And if what you want from God is what is due to you, I have one word of advice. Duck. And this is the truth. This is the truth. Because on the last day, what Jesus won for us is on the last day, there will be justice. There will be judgment. Jesus will come in justice and in judgment on the last day. It's all justice postponed, not denied. Right now, honestly, when you have justice, a travesty of justice done against, injustice done against you, you feel that and you want justice and sometimes you don't get it. And that's painful. It's painful when you experience unjust behavior toward you. It's painful. And you desire justice, but you know what? Even though it feels like the person who did you wrong is getting away with it, it's only justice postponed to the last day. It's not denied, before God at least. Sure, we might get away with it among ourselves and keep it hidden, and no one ever knows that I cheated this person or I stomped on them and on my way to my advancement, looking out for me, and possibly, you know, with some of the sex abuse in the church. Hey, come on, that's pretty bad stuff. It was in secret, and some people seem to be getting away with a lot. They're not getting away with a thing. It's justice postponed, not denied. It feels like it's being denied now. And maybe if you've been done wrong, I know I have, I've felt sometimes, I mean, you get to that moment and you say, Lord, I wish you just wiped them out. And he says, that's not what I died for. I died so that even those who wronged you would have a shot at repentance and know my mercy instead of my justice. And that's what we're dealing with right now. So let me help make that a little real. And I know this is something that helped me understand this a little better. On April 29th, 1945, and we just celebrated the anniversary of this last year in April 29th, and this is when this really came home to me. April 29th of 1945, the 7th Army 45th Division Infantry liberated the camp of Dachau in Germany. Up until that point, there were only rumors floating around of what Hitler had been doing with so many of the citizens within the borders of Germany, Poland, and all the occupied areas. No one knew for certain because it was all hidden away. And when they liberated Dachau, they went inside and couldn't believe what they saw. It was unbelievable, the bodies that were just stacked up on top of one another. This was a death camp where he was trying to wipe out Jews within Germany. It was the first death camp set up by Hitler in Germany. There were just about maybe several hundred SS soldiers that were assigned to Dachau. And these soldiers managed this death machine, trying to liquidate all of these bodies, and just couldn't keep up with the they were killing them so fast they couldn't keep up with dispensing with them. So when they got there, there were dead bodies all over the place, and it was so bad that General Eisenhower, who was head of the European theater of war during World War II, he came down to see it for his own eyes because he knew he'd have to say something in Congress. And he said, I don't want to just say someone told me. I want to say I saw it myself. So he even came down, couldn't believe what he saw. And what the army started to do is they had these SS soldiers bury the dead. And it took them almost 2 weeks. And I'm not talking individual burials. We had so many bodies that they did mass graves on the grounds of Dachau. And it took them almost 2 weeks. There was a lot of injustice going on, secretly hidden, people being rounded up and killed. And I'm here to tell you that that is not justice denied. It looks like it. Boy, it looks like Hitler almost pulled it off. He almost got away with it. It's not denied, though, ever before God. When you come before God, you're never dealing with justice denied, because on the last day, when Jesus comes, we're told in the scriptures, Philippians 2, every knee shall bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth. We're talking every knee shall bend. The most powerful of the governments of this world, their knees will bend. Every demon, including Satan in the underworld, the knee will bend, not because they want to, but because they have to. That's when justice comes. Jesus will come in power. But that's been postponed. And then he meets out justice. But I'm here to tell you this. Let's say, I forget the exact number, it's in the hundreds of SS soldiers that were managing the camp of Dachau. Let's say half of those repent and seek the mercy of Christ before they die. I'm here to tell you, they'll know mercy on the last day when Jesus comes. Now, you and I might think of that and say, wow, I don't think that's so good, Jesus. But guess what? It's true. That level of evil, if they repent, they will know God's mercy, because that's what he accomplished for us on the cross. That level of mercy. If there are some of those same SS people who managed that camp who refuse, and they said, we were just doing our job, I'm not going to repent, I didn't do anything wrong, I can tell you on the last day there'll be severe judgment awaiting them. Injustice, because this is justice postponed, not denied. But if you desire to know mercy, believe in the good news. Repent. And believe in the good news of mercy. I forgive you. And right now, it's not meant to be by force of power that Jesus comes. He will on the last day. When is that? We don't know. Jesus said, I don't even know. The Father is the only one. When he declares it, I come, it's over. But see, up until then, by the cross of Christ, we enter into mercy, because now is the dispensation of freedom, for the simple reason that God wants our love. And you can't love someone unless you're free. And that's what he wants. He wants our love. That's all he wants. Now, there are risks by leaving us free, and the risk is we'll abuse our freedom and start using it to aggregate ourselves and serve ourselves, and I'll do to you whatever it takes so that I can be advanced, and it won't matter. I mean, that is the risk that Jesus takes when he leaves us free. But the word of the church continues to go out. If you have done that, repent and believe in the good news, because mercy awaits you. And the Father wants to have a relationship with you. And he does. Every single one of you in this church. And I don't care what that little voice inside of you is saying, Father Dan, you don't know. You have no idea. The Father doesn't want to have a relationship with me. And I'm here to tell you, yes, he does. He does. Because he loves you. The Father is love. He wants a relationship with you. But so often we get so preoccupied with ourselves and not violating the Ten Commandments, and I'm thinking about myself and keeping myself so I don't do this wrong and this wrong, that we never quite get to the love relationship. That would say, you know, Jesus, I love you so much, I don't want to offend you because I love you. See, we don't get there, but that's where he wants us. And that's what he's attempting to help us grow in. And once you get on to love, there's no end to how much you can grow. The Father in heaven, be perfect as your Father is perfect. What does that mean? Be full and complete in your capacity to love. And there's perfect love right there. The saints went down that path. The saints went down that path. And we kind of stay enslaved as slaves instead of becoming what he calls friends. I want you to be my friends. Equals in love. Friendship is between equals. Can you imagine that? He wants to elevate us to that level of love and relationship. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. And that's what he's calling us to in today's gospel. Repent of the wrongdoing you've done, know my mercy, and then follow me. And grow in your relationship with me. Instead of staying a slave that's under the law and just trying not to do what's wrong, but never quite getting around to being about what's right and laying it down and giving yourself and pouring it out because Jesus did that for you. So brothers and sisters, today, let's believe in the good news. And if you have suffered some horrendous suffering, no, it's not justice denied. The person who did it to you may be long gone and you have no access to them. There's nothing you can do. Jesus instructs us to pray for people like that, that they will repent so that they'll know my mercy at the end rather than my justice. But then repent of your own offenses against God and know you'll be loved and forgiven. Because I desire a relationship with you. And when you love someone, you don't want to offend them. And so, let's grow in love and begin to learn how to become disciples of Jesus, moving out of the land of slavery into the land of friendship with the living God.